Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Let's pray. Lord, give us understanding of your word and teach us. Teach us how to live in your grace and your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I think I'll start by saying we make a mistake if we think that these words are aimed only at Pharisees and scribes. Jesus is outlining hypocrisy, and he does it so frequently in the Gospels. And these words are recorded for us as believers that we can't help but understand that he is prepared, concerned that his church could easily become Pharisees, could easily become these kinds of hypocrites. The warnings are not just for people who died long ago and for a movement that doesn't exist anymore. The words are for us to understand how we can fall into habits and practices that are so ungodly that they make a mockery of the religion we practice. In fact, you could almost read Jesus not angrily, but making a ridiculous picture of the Pharisees. As he paints these scenes, he could be mocking them almost, or making it so silly that it would be a warning to everyone not to ever enter into these practices. Because these practices that he talks about are silly as well as harmful. They're foolish as well as wicked. And it's all about masks. Yes, masks. We're wearing masks these days. And it's not a new thing, you know, wearing masks. In fact, I think that the anti-maskers ought to take note that we've all been wearing masks for a very long time. Just different kinds of masks. And there is a right kind of mask, and there's a wrong kind of mask. The word hypocrite is one of those words we just don't translate. It's a Greek word. It's like other words in the Bible that we don't translate, like evangelism. Evangelon is a Greek word. And the root of evangelon, angel, is also a Greek word. We don't have our own English word for angel. It's just a copy of the Greek. We don't have a word that we use for a messenger of the good news. We use evangelist, the Greek word. And hypocrite is a Greek word going way back to the days of Plato and Socrates, Aristophanes and the other playwrights, Plato and Socrates being philosophers, but Aristophanes being one of the comic playwrights. Greeks loved their theater, but their theater used masks, used those very symbolic or unrealistic masks of the smiling, the frowning, the king and the queen. These masks weren't intended to be representative or let the actor's face shine through. The actor was hiding behind the mask and pretending to be somebody they weren't. Now, actors are credited for pretending well. Actors are credited for pretending well because that's their job. They're supposed to represent a story and not be themselves. But that mask that they wore was given a name, a hypocrite, a hypocrite. The mask itself was the hypocrite. I've looked in the lexicons and the New Testament lexicons don't look beyond that idea of the mask. But in the ancient Greek, the hypocrite was actually someone who gave a response. And it's a court term. It was in the courts before it was in the theater. The hypocrite was the one who had to make an answer, the one who had to respond. I believe that we would, in modern day, we would have a plaintiff and a respondent, or a prosecutor and an accused. And the accused would be the one who had to make a response. He was required to answer, and the term hypocrites has the sense of someone who has to make a response. The word krites itself means judgment or decision. So the one about whom a decision is going to be made, or, to put it more plainly, someone under condemnation, under judgment. We use the term, we still have Greek terms in our, you'll soon be getting a hypodermic, right, to get your vaccine in. It goes under, hypo, the skin, whereas the hypocrite was someone who was under judgment. Now, of course, when the Greeks talked about masks, they didn't really mean that the actor was under judgment, but that he was required to make a response, just like someone in the court. And when it was applied to the broader society, it became a term that meant someone who was a pretender, someone who was faking it, someone who wasn't really who they said they were going to be. Now, that brings us back to the masks that we wear when we aren't wearing these masks. Because aren't there all times when we wear masks? I go back to listening to Bruce Coburn and his song Incandescent Blue. And in the second verse, he says, "All those people getting ready behind all those rectangles of light, put on your grin mask, babe, you know we're stepping out tonight." You hear that sound? Like hammers, only small. It's what people's heads make when you beat them against the wall. He's speaking about the mask that people put on when they get outside of their house and they're all happy and celebrating and they're going to the dance or the party, and they pretend that the problems that they had at home don't exist. They pretend they're happy when they're actually sad. And he describes that sound of despair, that sound of people just banging their heads against the wall, trying to get ready for another night of pretending. Have you ever done that? Have you ever told everybody it was all right when it really wasn't? Have you ever answered the question, "How are you doing today?" with "I'm fine," when you knew, and probably everybody else knew, you weren't fine? Your response was a pretense, but it's an accepted social pretense. "I'm fine" sometimes means I just don't want to talk about it, doesn't it? We have pretenses that come into the church. The hypocrisy of the Pharisees was the pretense, a part of it was the pretense they brought into the church. They made it look like everything was going well, that they were the nicest people in the world. They would say nice things to your face, but they'd scheme about you behind your back. They would seem to be all about uprightness and goodness, but they're all about imposing rules on other people. And it is too often characteristic in the church for people to think they have to pretend they're better than they are. For people to think that if they aren't going to be harassed and hurt by the other people in the congregation, that they better just smile and act like everything's okay. It wasn't so in the early church. When Paul was able to readily encourage each other, "Confess your sins to one another, bear one another's burdens. If one is sorrowful, all are sorrowful. If one is joyful, let all share that joy." The church is not intended to be a place of masquerade. but is intended to be a place of authenticity, vulnerability, and healing. If you go to the doctor, you don't go to the doctor because you make an appointment because you had a headache and you had sneezing and you had difficulty breathing, and you don't go to the doctor, and when the doctor says, "How are you doing?" you don't just say, "Fine," do you? There may be other people who don't need to hear about all your troubles, but your doctor needs to. And likewise, maybe at a dinner party you don't want to unload everything that is on your heart. But when you come into the body of Christ, you should be free to talk to someone you trust and to let them know what's really going on in your life. See, this is where we're supposed to, well, except for this mask, the church is where we're supposed to take off our masks and let the body of Christ be part of God's healing in the problems that we have in life. There are masks, then, that we shouldn't wear. But there are masks that we should wear. In fact, this mask is a filter, and it's supposed to keep us... This screen is protecting Jackie way over there while I'm talking. But this is supposed to protect us from each other, from the things that come out of our body that could harm others. And it is right that we should have a filter all the time. You all have it. James calls it the control of the tongue. And the Bible tells us to be careful about how we use the tongue, and we are. Don't we filter what comes out of our heart and try not to let every kind of anger, envy, bitterness, criticism, we try to recognize that those things, though they come from our heart, don't really belong on our lips. And so we have a filter. Sometimes people lack a filter. Have you ever found somebody in your life that lacks a filter? And you you're a little bit worried about what they're going to say next. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's hurtful. But it is right for us to filter. Jesus criticized the Pharisees, saying they were all concerned about what went into their mouth. But he said, what goes into your mouth just goes through your digestive system and leaves your body. But the things that come out of your mouth, he said, come from your heart. And the heart is the source of all the uncleanness that comes out of our mouth. What do we do with that? Well, one thing we do is we put a filter on it. That's a start. And the Bible talks about our relationship with Christ sometimes as a very internal thing. The Spirit working within us, receiving Christ into our heart, and letting Christ transform our minds. But at other times, the Scripture speaks of it as trying on something new. It talks about being clothed in Christ, putting on His righteousness. How is that different from the Pharisees putting on their righteousness? Well, I'm going to suggest that it's very, very close. You see, we're always in danger of pretending to be more righteous than we are when we're trying to learn the righteousness of Christ, when we're trying to practice the righteousness of Christ. And I think that the difference, the thing that can keep us on the good side of that divide, is the humility to admit that there's a bunch of things in our heart that aren't right, and we're trying to let the filter only let out what is good and true and noble and just, what is profitable for the upbuilding of others. You see, the Pharisees' filter was all about protecting their reputation, but our filter should be about building up others and blessing others. The filter that we wear is to screen out viruses, not to make us look good. Although I must say, you know, I think I look pretty good in it. The masks that we wear, we can admit that our hearts have things in them that are better left unsaid most of the time. And that's not just an excuse to push down our bitterness and our hatred. Whenever we find ourselves having to use our filter, and we're aware when we have to use our filter, aren't we? We're conscious of biting our tongue. We're conscious that our expression is strained or angry when we're trying to just let out the love. We're conscious that there's a struggle within us, and that's something for us to note and take to God in private. Or, if we need help taking it to God, there's a time to meet with somebody else and pray it through, talk it through, and ask God to make a change in our hearts. We aren't about pretending to be something we aren't, but we don't want what we are to be a harm to others. We're not just spraying it out there, venting and letting it all go. Instead, we're showing restraint for the sake of others and taking home our notes about what stirs us up to wrath, what stirs us up to anger, what malice is still hiding in our heart, what fears and anxieties still consume us, and recognizing we need to lay these before God. For before God, there doesn't need to be any filter. There doesn't need to be any mask before God. He sees your heart. He knows what's in there. He knows the sins that you hide from others. He knows the temptations that you struggle so mightily with. He knows your anxieties and your fears. And he doesn't turn you away. It was knowing all these things that he loved you and gave his life for you. He gave his life for you so that he might be able to give new life to you and bring you to health and wholeness from the things that are cluttering up your heart. So before God, let's drop the masks. You can read in the Psalms people who express their frustration even to God and with God. You can read in the Bible people who came before God broken and knowing that they had nothing good in them, but they found God's mercy. Speaking of the Pharisees, once again, Jesus talked about two people that went into the temple. And one of them lifted his eyes up to heaven and he said, "I thank you, O God, that I am a good man. You made me that way and I'm so good. I give my tithe, I do all the church stuff, I am such a great guy." Not like, "Oh, that tax collector over there." But the tax collector, this person who was making his money, turning a profit, working for the enemy, the Romans, against the Jewish people, that tax collector came into the temple and he wouldn't even raise his eyes to heaven, but instead he beat his breast and said, "Lord, have mercy on me, sinner that I am." Jesus said, the tax collector is the one who left that temple justified. The tax collector is the one who was forgiven and set right in the eyes of God. The tax collector was the one who started a journey that would allow him to walk tall and proud with his God. He was the one that had the right prayer. The Pharisee went away from there completely unchanged, completely untouched by the presence of God, standing in his own righteousness, proud of himself, and gained nothing from putting on that mask in front of God. Are we all, well, I know we are, we're all willing to be that tax collector. This is the practice of our congregation day to day. As people read their scriptures and find things that convict their heart, they also read the scriptures and find things that in which they see how God loves them and God is waiting for them to draw near and how God is ready to help them with everything that's in their heart. And so we know, no masks before God, humbling ourselves and letting God make the change. And we also know to put on Christ to let his righteousness shape us. There's one other kind of mask that I haven't talked about because I don't know that much about them. It's that mask that I see in advertisements where somebody has cucumbers on their eyes and looks like some kind of key lime pie spread all over their face. It's a strange mask, but I'm told it does wonders for wrinkles and stuff, which some people get, you know. I think putting on Christ is more like the key lime pie mask, or whatever that is, than this kind of mask, or the... We hope you're still with us. We suffered a computer crash sometime during the sermon, and we seem to have reconnected with the stream. We'll try to make sure that the full service is up on the website as soon as we can. But let's continue in our worship and conclude our worship as we sing a couple of songs to reflect on our life with Jesus. The first is going to be a song called Walk With Me.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website, and be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.